So, when we are moving into a new house, we spend the next several months packing and getting ready to move, right? Well, this pastor is committed and dedicated to helping you get ready to move from your house to his house. Okay? So when I said some of you will be offended by this, don't be offended by this. Embrace it. Because God's love won't keep you the same. Didn't we just sing about that? And it sounded wonderful, didn't it? He loves us the way he found us, but he loves us too much to keep us that way. Are you ready? No, I need a more confirmation than that. Are you ready? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, as our text for the reading of God's Word. Thank you for standing. I want you to know I preach this to you today with all the love in my heart. I don't want one of us, when that trumpet sounds, gravitational pull loses all hold on us and we fly. Amen. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3, therefore, endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. He's telling us, yeah, even through the hard times, buck up. Get tough. We're going to make it. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. That fourth verse of Scripture said, no man, somebody say no man.
No man.
Warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That verse 4 is simply saying that we cannot get involved with the things of this world that would hinder or distract us from the purpose in which God has chosen us. Remember Jesus teaching the congregation, his disciples, and his sayings was pretty hard, and they said, man, this is too hard, we can't even follow it. And a bunch of them left, and Jesus looked at his disciples and said, are you guys going to leave me also? And they said, where would we go? There's only one place. There's only one way out of this world, church, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to make heaven our home, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Also, I found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 22, that then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand, the other on the left, in the kingdom. And but Jesus answered and said, you know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? See, we don't understand that living a Christian life is not a bed of roses that has no thorns. There is circumstances in our life. The reason we face tribulations and difficult, number one, Satan's trying to deter you from being a child of God and making heaven your home. Number two, he hates you and wants to destroy you and don't want you to have a part of it anyway. Number three, we fail to realize that we do and will have struggles in this life. You know why? Because this world's not our home. This world's not our home. If everything was rosy and everything was peachy and everything was absolutely awesome, you wouldn't want to leave here. Revelation, hello. If everything was perfect, you wouldn't want to leave here. And we forget the fact that this world is going to face us with tribulations, problems, circumstances, but it does not alter the promises of God. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Through the hard times and the bad times, are we willing to drink of that cup? Hello? Are we willing to drink of that cup? Are you willing to go through the persecution? Are you willing to go through the tribulation? Are you willing to go through tests and trials? Are you willing to go through things that's about ready to blow your mind? But you know, you got to hold on with everything that's within you. You got to. This is not our home. We're just a passing through. We often consider the different scriptures that speak of being faithful. I want you to know I don't preach like Sister Williams and she don't preach like me. Okay, I'm your pastor. I want to get you out of this world. Okay? I want to get you out of this world. We consider the different scriptures and speaking of being faithful, being strong, and even enduring trials and tribulation, just like I talked to you, as an act of the flesh that would require human natural strength. That's how we process being a good soldier. That's how we process being faithful. That's how we process of being to endure the hardness. We process the trials and tribulation through the act of the flesh that would require human natural strength. It's hard for us to grasp the fact that spiritual endurance is quite different than one's personal ability to conquer the physical challenges that seem to test us on a daily matter. Come on, somebody preach with me, okay? I didn't get to preach last week, so I'm fired up. I'm ready to go for a couple hours. Hallelujah. Somebody said, that's fine, but I'm leaving in 30 minutes. Ephesians chapter 6. I cannot tell you what my heart really feels. You are, some of you are older than us, but you're still our kids. And we love you and we desire the best for our kids. And sometimes we have to administer medicine that's not real tasty. Anybody ever taken any of that stuff? But it's for our own good. It's for my, I've taken some that I didn't care for. Huh? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not our physical ability to be able to face these challenges. It's our spiritual man that must rise to the occasion and crucify the flesh that we might go forward in Jesus Christ. Be sober, be vigilant, 1 Peter 5 and 8 said, for because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We must maintain a spiritual equilibrium and a spiritual agility to handle the spiritual challenges that face us in our world today. So it's very imperative. So why do we need to be strong in grace? Why is it important for us to be faithful? Look at your neighbor and say, you need to be faithful. Boy, that was quiet. Endurance is one thing. But why does it have to be so hard in going through the process? I may mention to someone the other day, and I faced it myself. If we could face one trial at a time, it wouldn't be too bad. But it seems like when we're hit with 3, 4, and 5 all at one time, it's overwhelming. Right? But can I tell you, God's never overwhelmed. We've got to learn to crucify the flesh. Put the flesh aside. I can't handle it, but God, I know that you can. And I take all 20 of them to you right now. And I know God can handle all 20 at one time. And he can handle everybody at the same time. That's the God that we serve. The challenge in context with being a good soldier requires training. I said, the challenges in the context of being a good soldier does require training. Looking a little closer at the reasons why Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier, can I take just a second to remind you that a good soldier for Uncle Sam has to have eligibility requirements and pass them that they might have a physical and mental ability to face the challenges of being a good soldier, or they won't be able to even enlist. Some of these are applicable to Christians and some of those are not. It doesn't matter. To be a soldier for Uncle Sam, you have to be between 17 and 35. That's not Christian required. I was saved at 5 years old. I can take you to the place. My only regret, I didn't start earlier. Can I say that again? I got saved at 5. My only regret is I didn't start earlier. This is a tough crowd. To be a soldier for Uncle Sam, you must be mentally, physically fit and have a good moral standing. That should apply to Christians. There must be a citizen or a permanent resident of the United States. Okay? For now. But recognizing we're pilgrims and strangers and we're fixing to leave here. They must have a high school education or equivalent. You don't have to be smart, you just got to trust God. Must have the ability or must be able to score a minimum passing grade on the Army's exam. Hey, listen, you may not have what it takes when you get to be, when you come to Jesus Christ, but He'll give you what you need to follow through for Jesus Christ. He qualifies those that He calls. Not only is it important for making sound decisions, listen, this one is very applicable. It's important that we be spiritual enough to make sound decisions. But one must also be responsible enough for the safety of other soldiers around them. Man, that'll preach all by itself. Hello? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Yes. And yes. So as a soldier for Uncle Sam, they must be able to make sound decisions and must have the responsibility and feel that responsibility of the safety of other soldiers around them. So should we be in the kingdom of God. Yet if it's a battlefield where traditional and conventional weaponry isn't sufficient for this kind of confrontation in which we live, we break away from Uncle Sam's army into the spiritual army. And can I tell you and assure you today that we are in a war. And we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And as we fight this battle, God will give us the victory. We may have a backset every now and then, but we've already won the war because it was won on Calvary through the blood of Jesus Christ, conquered at the grave, and come up out of that grave, Jesus Christ did, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Will somebody preach with me today? In the spiritual field of battle, there are reasons why we are to be qualified to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. There are reasons why we must be faithful and why we have to endure hardness. In tough times, we must be that good soldier of Jesus Christ. So much of the battle that we fight in this spiritual realm is not, as the Word of God said, it's not flesh and blood, but it's fought with the battle of your mind. Fear, anxiety. Come on, somebody. Those are attacks of Satan. That's why endure hardness is a good soldier. We look at all these other things as a physical realm that we have to deal with, but we've got to give it all to God because most of the battle in the spiritual realm is fought mentally. You understand that? I heard someone say once that the devil attacked their mind and they about drove the devil crazy trying to find it. We got to have a made up mind. We got to be faithful when no one is watching. Because I assure you they are. We cannot take advantage of God's grace, but prepare ourselves to fight the battle daily, to put the flesh in its place, and let the spirit man rise to the occasion that we might fight the good fight of faith. It's your fleshly will that experiences the controversy in your spiritual walk. Can I say that again? It's your fleshly will that experiences the controversy and the confrontation in your spiritual life. Paul said, I have to crucify the flesh every couple of months. Daily, he had to, thank you. Constantly, he had to crucify the flesh. Yet for the most part, church, we feel like we can confront it with our own strength, with our own wit, with our own feelings and our fortitude. And we feel like that it's sufficient for the confrontation that we're facing. But can I tell you today, it isn't. And in Arkansas, in Oklahoma language, it ain't going to work. We must depend upon the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, and direct us. And it's the Holy Spirit that's the only one that can make connection with God, that we need that strength. So let us look. Can I take a few minutes this morning? Got plenty of time. Let me take a few minutes this morning. I'm going to blow your mind, even though I might not be able to find it this morning. A big, huge reason, as you all know, and we've stressed it with the men, that God, in His graciousness and awesomeness, He compares the church and His relationship with marriage all through the Word. How many understands that? Okay? So, with that being said, a huge reason that we do not endure afflictions in these hard times is found in the reason why there is so many experiencing divorce in the natural. So will you stay with me for just a little bit? Hello? My purpose in this is to show you the reason divorce happens. I hate it. Everybody hates it. And if you're a victim of that today, do not let this damper your spirits toward God, because that is not the purpose. The purpose is your relationship with God. And if we can learn from the examples of things around about us, that's why Jesus gave parables to us. I said, that's why Jesus gave parables to us. That's why Jesus gave parables to us. So that we might learn from the natural things that it relate to the spiritual things. So there's so many things, a reason that our spiritual lives are threatened, because it reflects the natural life. So the reason why so many people get divorces today is the lack of commitment. Ooh, will that apply spiritually? Commitment, loyalty. It seems that it's a rare thing anymore to have anyone committed for the long haul. And even more so in salvation. It seems like that we hit it hard, we hit it good, and then we hit a bump, and we're ready to throw in the towel. We sometimes maybe make that commitment just long enough to get us out of the jam, or at least to make us feel better. Number two, we find that there is a huge arena of couples getting divorced because of the incompatibility and the growing apart syndrome. You listening to me? I want to help you. I've got to take these off for a minute to see how many fell asleep on me. The incompatibility. The growing apart. So that's what we face in Christian walk. We don't endure the hardness as a good soldier. We start falling out of love. We start growing apart just a little bit at a time. We have an ingrown toenail, so we stay home today to get it to feel better. And the whole family has to stay with us. That's growing apart. that when we first get married, we were on that honeymoon still, and it doesn't matter. We're not going to leave our mate no matter what. We're going to stick with them through thick and thin. No matter, it doesn't matter what's going on. We stick with them. But as we get a little older and we've been there for a while, you know, it doesn't really matter if we go fishing for 2 weeks. Am I preaching to me? It really doesn't matter. If we take separate vacations, I'm going to get in trouble, aren't I? We've become, we're growing apart. We don't have that. Same way with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And perhaps the difficulties in growing apart is we don't want to come under authority. You say, well, what's that got? We don't want to come underneath submission. Remember studying about that a few weeks ago? We want the blessings of God. I was praying this morning concerning this, and my thoughts are, God, I'll do my best to preach what you want me to preach, and I'll take care of the fallout later. I'm going to preach to you God's word. I got to. We want the blessings, but we want it our way and in our time frame. We want our cake and eat it too. And most of us want a lot of icing with it. We fail to read the book that tells us that Jesus loves us and saves us just the way we are. But for our own good, He has a plan and a contract that will develop you into a good soldier. Isn't that awesome? We have a God that loves us. That's when you sign up for Uncle Sam's army, He has a plan that He will, and a contract that you have to sign that He will make you into a good soldier. Hello? Number three, there's a communication problem. Is the reason that a lot of couples divorce. The problem is we don't communicate. Because communication works two ways. It's not a one-way street. We no longer read His Word. And we're even more absent when we need to listen. He does speak in several ways. I said He does speak in several ways. He speaks to you through the preacher. He speaks to you through the teacher. He speaks to you through songs and hymns, prophets. He speaks to you in your quiet time, if you'll listen. Like a marriage, communication must be have the art of listening, as well as knowing when to speak with the right attitude and when just to keep your mouth shut. Here's one problem with divorcing, couples divorcing, and it's a big problem in our spiritual walk today, is extramarital affairs. Many places in the Bible, God deals with an adulterous and fornicating people. Their love for the world and things of the world continue to overshadow their love and passion for God. I didn't copy this stuff out of the book. This is what God gave me, okay? I don't have a book in my library that's got this kind of stuff. They don't write it no more like this. This is old ones. Considering Jose and Gomer. Her name sounds so much better pronounced like that. Instead of Gomer. I mean, who would marry a Gomer? Tell me. The epitome of unfaithfulness of Gomer, and yet the love and the grace of a Savior. And there's a lot for sale out there, church, young Christians. There is a lot for sale out there that looks cheap and looks like a goodbye. But I assure you, it comes with a hidden high price. Amen. excuse me, number five. Way ahead of myself. Here's one that we don't... I'm talking about enduring hardness as a good soldier, right? So the next one is excessive arguing. Anybody ever argue with your spouse? How about this? How many argues with your spouse? Yeah. If they just learned to listen to me, that's our response. We've all heard the saying about people that would argue with a fence post. Well, we do argue with God, trying to convince ourselves that He really didn't mean what He said. He really doesn't want us to be a helper in the nursery. Good place to say amen, Sister Rhonda. He really didn't mean for us to be a witness to our neighbors. And He sure didn't speak to me about going on the mission trip. Instead of letting the Scriptures interpret themselves, which is what they will do, we form our own opinion, which will fit the narrative of how it best fits our lifestyle. We forgot that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Whether we like it or whether we don't, we must take God's word at face value. From Genesis to Revelation, I have often told myself what Brother Chris mentioned several weeks ago in our Wednesday night class. When I read a passage of Scripture that I come across that I really don't like or I disagree with, I must assume that I am wrong. And the Scripture is right. The next one, that there is things happen in divorce that's caused by financial incompatibility. Y'all didn't know you was coming to church today to get a lesson on financial incompatibility. That is one of the major reasons of divorce, is because couples can't agree on finances. Come on, somebody. Giving 10% of my income? That's ludicrous. I work hard for that. I didn't see Jesus anywhere doing anything to make the line work any easier. Yet we forget that He holds our breath in His hands. We forget that He gives us the strength to get up out of bed in the morning. If not for Him, God give me this. I absolutely love this. I'm going to frame it, okay? I'm going to frame it. If it was not for Christ, if it was not for Almighty God, we would be no more than a butterfly floating aimlessly through the sky waiting to be some bird's lunch. Is that good or what? I said, thank you, Jesus. I don't want to be some bird's lunch. I want to hear what He has to say. And I want to be active in doing what He wants me to do. Tithe and offerings are as biblical on this side of grace as they was on the other side of grace. I've heard that argument so much. Well, we're on this side of grace. He doesn't really talk about it. Oh, but He does. Because in Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 and 24, He tells the Pharisees, and He calls them hypocrites, that you do all these things, and you give your tithe, your tents, your spices, your mint, your dill, and cumin, but you neglect the important part. Now, if tithe was not important in the New Testament, why did Jesus bring it up to these guys? I rest my case. Number seven, and all I like is finishing, okay? And it's early yet. Lack of intimacy with God. Lack of intimacy when a marriage causes divorce. How many agrees with that? Do you understand intimacy with your spouse that you're married to? It seems that we have lost our passion and love for God like so many in our world today for their spouse. Thank you, sweetheart. I'll buy your lunch today. We use him. We use him. We use him more as a scapegoat. Are you ready? We use him as a scapegoat. This is the intimacy part. More than we do sitting at his feet like Mary did and worshiping him. We've forgotten who he is. And with that lack of intimacy also comes a lack of respect. With a lack of... You still love me? Yeah, you might not after this. With a lack of intimacy, but I love you, and I'm going to tell you the truth. With a lack of intimacy comes a lack of respect. Can I tell you, he's God. And he deserves more honor and respect than we give him nowadays. He created the universe. He says, this is my house, and I will make it a house of prayer, but you have made it a house of thieves. If we visit a king or a queen, we show them respect and honor by dressing and acting in a very respectful way. Amen. It's like we come to his house, like he ain't going to be there anyway. So there's times we look like something the cats drug up the dogs wouldn't have. And if anything is said about it, we become more defiant than ever. Back in the 70s, some of you can visualize this clearly and understand this. Some of you are going to have a hard time with it. But there was a saying going around back in the 70s, and it was through observation that we come up with this saying. Are you still with me? Grunt something. It used to be, or we used to see it down at Walmart or Harps or wherever you was. But sadly, out of disrespect and intimacy, we've lost it, and it has infiltrated the church today. And that saying was, we have come to a place in our society that people look like Tarzan, dress like Jane, and smell like Cheetah. Can I come to you today and tell you, we are in the house of God. And if you have to keep tugging on your dress tail or pulling up on your blouse to keep yourself covered, it's probably time to get the church sewing ladies to sew you some fig leaves together. There should be no question, shouldn't be a question on who we come to see. Not to show them our merchandise or give a man reason to lust. Listen, this is God's house. I'm telling you as humbly and as loving as I know how. This is God's house. This is God's house. He is the King of all kings. God is more than an object of your imagination. His house shall be a house of prayer. And he deserves more than what we give him. My wife took me to a very nice restaurant for my birthday a couple of weeks ago. And as I looked over the menu before we got there, I found at the bottom of their webpage that they had a very modest and respectful dress code, which I respectfully complied. Now, can I tell you, and I come to you today, church, to tell you, if this place asks us to respect their guidelines, how much more should we honor and respect the God of the universe and make his house an honored place of worship? Listen, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Did you hear me? Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Do we count the cost? Bible tells us in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, for which of you intend to build a tower, setteth not down first and count the cost, whether we have sufficient to finish it. Yes, Jesus has paid the full cost of your salvation, but he will not leave you the same way he found you. The cost of your salvation is free, but the price of your commitment will cost you something. Paul said at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but also those that finish this course. Some of you are going to have a little tougher course than others. Some of you are going to have to face a little more difficult than others. You're going to have greater challenges than others. That does not mean you're more ungodly. That just means that God knows what you need to put you through the test to make you what you need to be. There's different branches of the army. One branch of the army doesn't require as much as the Marines. Hello? The Green Berets. Come on, some of you guys have been in the military, right? There's different stages of the military that requires more than others. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
So it is with the spiritual realm. You're tested more because God requires of you more because He's got more for you to do. He's got a higher level of service for you. So don't begrudge what God takes you through. He's bringing you to that position in that place. Hello? Can I tell you today, beyond any shadow of a doubt, you can rest assured that heaven be worth it no matter the cost. I'll try to hurry and finish, maybe. Unrealistic expectations. Listen, it rains on the just and on the unjust. We are not promised a bed of rose petals. Not all our prayers will be answered the way you prayed them. And on the contrary, we are told that we will have tribulations. But He said, fret not, because Jesus said, I have overcome. You will be offended. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to be offended. You will be persecuted. Not everyone like Jesus. And not everyone will like you for the stand that you take. But stay faithful. Stay faithful. Your reward is waiting for you. If you don't throw in the towel, and just because He doesn't cater to all your wants and all your needs, does not disregard the fact that He knows what He's doing and He has your back. Conflict over responsibility. It's another biggie in marriages today. How many of us shrink from our responsibility because there are other things that we want to do? We don't see the need to pay our tithes. We don't see the need to be faithful to each other in the service for Jesus Christ. Regardless of what the Bible says, we can justify our reason because everyone is doing it, so we might as well do it too. We're kind of in a mode of mediocrity on supporting and backing the pastor and the church leaders, because you see, they just don't do things like I really think they should. We would rather add fuel to the fire rather than find good in those who lead us and serve us, as well as others that just don't do things like I like. But I encourage you today to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We can't yield to temptation. We must be faithful. Can somebody say amen? We must be faithful. We cannot yield the temptation that life brings us. Hello? Hello? We cannot yield the temptation. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be a good soldier. Endure hardness. There's things in our life that we have to endure that's hard. We cannot yield to the temptation to cheat on our taxes. Enduring hardness is a good soldier. We cannot break the speed limit just because we feel like it, because we are to obey the laws of the land. You're an example. Didn't you feel that? My. You cannot yield to a glance at pornography just because it's in your face. You cannot yield and give someone a piece of your mind, especially when you can't afford to lose any. You cannot afford to yield to a spiteful and rebellious attitude just because things doesn't smooth your feathers down right. Temptations. Temptations will be in our life until we take our last breath. But we must face it strong, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I acted like a child. But when I grew up, I acted like an adult. Will somebody please help me get out of the cellar? We've got to get to a place to where we endure hardness as a good soldier before Jesus comes back. Having all things common, as known in the early church, because it's all for the glory of God and the building of the kingdom, and we cannot afford to follow our selfish agenda. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of the ministry." We've got a job to do. So, we are watching the bank while the safe goes unguarded. This is the balance of enduring hardness as a good soldier. We're watching the bank outside while the safe goes unguarded. The bank is your intellect, while the safe is your heart. In other words, while we guard the front door, the back door has accessibility for intruders to come in and do their dirty work. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him." Somebody say, "that I may know Him." "And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death." Chris, if you all go ahead and come to the piano. "In the knowledge and the wisdom of God, we must keep all excesses secured through the blood of Jesus Christ." Did you hear me? "In the knowledge and wisdom of God, those things we must be able to overcome, capture those thoughts in our mind that did not need to be there and cast them back to the pits of hell. Do not yield to temptation, but let the knowledge and the presence of God take us over." What was it about? What was that all about when Peter, that he could not see his vulnerability of being sifted? While determining to be true and faithful to the Master, his confidence come up short when challenges come in the form of danger, humiliation, association, and direct confrontation of the crowd. Did you hear me? Our challenges sometimes come in unpredictable ways. We feel in danger, anxiety and fear arises, humiliation, we don't want to be embarrassed because people know that we go to Trinity, so we just tell them we go to church once in a while. Association, I'm not afraid to be associated with the Pentecostal folks. I'm closing. Listen. It's what you're made out of that will take you through the fire. It's not your circumstances you're in or what you're going through that'll destroy you. It's the will that'll destroy you, or it's the faith and the anointing of God that will take you through the same fire that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through. One more thing. Are you ready? The same boiling water that softens a potato hardens an egg. So what are you made out of? What are you made out of? Job put it like this: "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were painted in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Stand with me all over the building today.